Stewart can help you. Like, I was in high school in the 90s, which means I'm old, right? And so, but in the early 90s, there was a show called Saturday Night Live. It still exists. I don't necessarily recommend it, but in the 90s, it was like in its prime, in my opinion. So there were some guys like Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, and Mike Myers. You probably know him from Shrek, but he was like all of these guys. And every Saturday night, 11:30, live television, and they just had just a lot of just ridiculous sketches like that. And so, like, this wasn't what it was for my generation. Like, for you guys are the YouTube generation, right? So you guys, it's not really Saturday Night Live, it's YouTube channels, right? And so I was asking people, I mean, how many of you guys, like, watch a YouTube channel regularly? Like, you wait for the next couple of years. Okay, so I want to hear from like five of you which one you watch. Which one you watch? Blimey Cow? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah!
Okay, yeah. Right here. Yeah, you watched like 79 of us. We agree. One more.
Shane Dawson TV.
Okay. One more. Phineas and Ferb. Okay, there we go. And so, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you watch those things and you share them, and everybody laughs at them, right? Like, this is great. So again, in my generation, it was Saturday Night Live. So we would do this. Like, we would get together Saturday night, 11:30, at somebody's house, like me and my friends, and we'd watch the show. And then for the next week, we would quote lines from it to one another. This is just how it worked. And Daily Affirmations with Stuart Smalley was one of them. And I remember, like, the first time I saw this sketch, like, this is just, like, you just got a glimpse of this when Michael Jordan is like, you guys know Michael Jordan? Again, it's the early 90s, so, okay, this is good. You guys know him, so this makes me feel better. And so, like the show's always the same. He would start out looking in the mirror, like, I'm going to do a great show today because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and I've got people like me. And then he would apologize for something he screwed up the week before, and then he'd say, but it's okay. Like that, and then he would have some kind of emotional crisis, but in the end, like, he would solve this again, looking in the mirror and saying, like, I'm good enough, and I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. It's just great, and I just quote this thing. And so here's the thing, like, when I first saw that sketch, like, it was so funny because that guy's just ridiculous in my opinion, you know, like, it's just, he's not really a therapist, but he's trying to help people. That's kind of his whole thing, like, and so it was so funny, but it wasn't funny at all in the same breath. I don't know if you know what I mean by that. Like, again, it was funny because his character was funny, and the people, like Michael Jordan speaking into the mirror, like, that to me was funny, but it wasn't funny because part of that, like, felt too real. Like, it felt like even though we don't put on a geeky sweater and have hair like that and that kind of stuff and look in a mirror like that, it felt a lot like this is what we try to do to make ourselves feel better. And so in that way, like, it just felt a little too real, and it wasn't funny at all. And so think about this for a moment. Like think about life. Okay, and I know you guys are middle school, high school, so you kind of growing up, and we know that there's going to be a time in your life, and you've probably faced it many times, where you just really feel insecure or worthless. This just happens. Like, somebody says something to you, and it just hurts, or somebody does something, or you do something stupid, and everybody finds out about it, and just the feeling you have is just really low. I mean, this starts from very young. This starts from, like, early elementary school. And so, like, for me, it was, I think it was second grade, and it was the spelling bee in front of the entire school. And I had the word clown, right? And I knew how to spell this word, but in front of the whole school and everybody watching, like, I spelled it wrong. And like, I felt horrible, and some people laughed. They're like, here, you feel like you got clown wrong? And you know, like, this... From that moment, like, I just felt like a failure. And these things happen a lot, and they happen a lot in our culture because in our culture, we like to put labels on one another, and we like to put labels on ourselves. And so some of these are good. Like, when you When you get a good grade, and your teacher, when you were in elementary school, like they put a cool sticker on your paper or wrote like awesome, and you got a label there that says like I'm awesome, right? You know, like you get that when you do things good, but when hard things happen, sometimes you get another label. So again, for me, when I misspell clown in front of the entire school, this was what I felt I had written across my forehead right here. Just the label of failure. It's the same feeling that I had in sixth grade when I got the basketball inbounded to me and I started going the wrong direction. And it wasn't even that I scored for the other team because I shot and I missed. Like, and yet it was at the wrong basket and everybody's yelling and people are like, believe you did this, and I felt so stupid. And we have those situations where we just blow it or we miss it, and that's the label that we put on it, on failure. Right? And a lot of us have been there. And there's other ones too. I mean, there's this one. Like from the moment you have somebody that you trust and you're excited about and they do things for you and it's awesome and you're becoming really close to them and then they turn around and they just take something from you and leave, right? And you figure out that the only reason that they were nice to you is because they wanted something from you, right? This happens sometimes and we feel used or we feel damaged, maybe is another word that we could use there. I mean, this is the feeling that I hear so many girls share with me when they kind of start to give themselves to a guy and he's, you know, buys them flowers and smiles at them and then he cheats on them. Right? We feel used. Or a guy that finds out again that a girl is only with him because he can drive or he pays for things or things like that, and we feel this kind of label. And there's another label that we feel sometimes, the label of awkward, right? Or creepy. Like we put this on people, and sometimes we wonder if this is us, right? Like maybe not all of you, but many of us at times, like you just watch how people react to you. Right? And you know how people, like for many times, they're paying attention, but for you, as you start to get close to people, people tend to step back, or they look the other way, or they get busy, and you just kind of wonder yourself, like, am I awkward? Like do people look at me in this way? And sometimes we even say this to one another, like, you're creepy, get away from me. And maybe you've had that said to you. I mean, this is a label that we have sometimes, and there's others. The label of, I would call it, not good enough. I mean, this is anytime everybody else makes it and you don't. Or you work super, super hard on something, right? Like you give it your best and you still get a D. And everybody else gets an A. Or you try out, you try your hardest and everybody else gets on the team and you don't. And we slap a label on it. It's like we're wearing it across our forehead or across our chest that says, I'm not good enough. I think probably the hardest one is this one. Being unwanted. I mean, this happens when dad leaves, right? You don't hear from him for a long time, or when somebody breaks up, or you just kind of pour your heart out to a person, and they say, like, thanks, I'm flattered, but not really interested in you, and this is how we feel, right? Like, we wonder, does anybody care about me? Does anybody really think about me? And we feel unwanted. And I can just go on tonight. Like, I can just give us label after label. And these are the things. If we go through life very long, like, we hit these. We feel these things. And kind of the result underneath of all of this is I feel worthless, right? And this is just reality. This is our world that we live in. And my guess is many of us, like, we smile, we sing,
we do things like that tonight. But my guess is many of us, if we were honest, we're even facing some of these things tonight. In fact, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pull out your card. And you don't need to show the world. I'm not going to have you broadcast this tonight necessarily. But this is what I want you to do. Is I just want to ask you, what label did you get put on you? Or have you felt lately? Or do you feel tonight? Somebody's saying it. Or something happened that makes you think this. And I want you to write it on your card. I want you to write it big. Because tonight, if we're going to get anywhere, we kind of just got to admit this is what we face. So write it down. And I'll just give you a moment. You don't have to if you don't want to. But if you trust somebody next to you, just tell them. Tell them what you wrote down. And just whisper it. I'll just whisper it. So this is how we feel, right? And this is what we face. But here's what I want us to think about tonight. When we get those labels put on us, when we experience this, when we feel worthless, what do we do with that? Right? Like how do we deal with that? And I think, or as I watch people, and as I talk to people, and as I look at my own life, I find that there's not a whole lot that we can do with this. I mean, one of the things that we can do is we can try to think positively about this, right? Like, this is what we're told often. Like, you get a label put on you. You're awkward, or you're not good enough, or something like that. And what we're told is that you just got to think positively about that. Don't listen to that, but kind of look in the mirror, or just kind of think yourself like better thoughts. So you are good enough, and you are smart enough, and yeah, you messed up, and that's okay, but doggone it, people like you, right? I mean, isn't that what Stuart is saying to do? And while we laugh at that, like, in many senses, that's what we're told. Like, when you hear those things or those things happen to you, you got to think positively. That's not you. You're somebody different. We think positively, or we just lash out, right? And so you get to hear people like Taylor Swift, and she sings at the Grammys, and she has a character that's supposed to be her ex-boyfriend tied to a Target, right? And she's singing to him what? We are never, ever, ever, ever going to get back together again, right? Or I don't know how many evers there is. And like, step away real quick, ladies. Like there is some wisdom in that, okay? Like, a guy's got to earn some trust, and it's not worth it. Okay, but what you also hear there is anger, right? You made me feel unworthy, and so I'm going to feel better about myself by making you feel worthless too. And so we lash out, or I think the other option is we gotta rise above it. And so if you want to stick with the music theme tonight. Like, Christina Aguilera has a song called Beautiful, right? And what does she say in this song? Yeah, what does she say?
I'm beautiful, and every single day, words can't bring me down.
Yeah, words can't bring me down. Whatever you say, like, it is not going to hurt me. It's not going to bring me down. I gotta rise above these labels, right? And honestly, like, these are our options. Or how it feels, I think positively, I lash out, or I rise above. And I gotta be honest, there's part of this that is good. That, like, it is just good for us to admit, like, I feel worthless. I feel insecure. here. This, like, all of these kind of brings that out in the open. And when you're laying at the, or you're yelling at the boyfriend tied to a Target, like, this says that you're hurt, right? And so this is, there's some good in this, but at the same time, like these things, they may help for a moment. Like, you may feel better for a moment, but they don't really repair what's happening. Like, just think hard. Like this is tough sometimes for all of us, but especially when we're young. But we got to play these things out a little bit. And if this is all we have, we can feel good for a moment, but there's no real solution. There's no real repair to how I'm feeling. I mean, the best case scenario is I just continue to go through life believing something that's untrue, or the way I find my value is by devaluing other people. Those are the only two options if this is all we have. But see, tonight, what I want to say, and I want to say as quickly and as simply as I can tonight, is I want to say that what Jesus wants us to know about himself is that there's also, that there's another way. And what Jesus has done for us, like, it speaks about heaven and hell, and it speaks about forgiveness, but it also speaks about our worthless feelings and his ways. That what Jesus has done can actually repair what these things do to our hearts. And so tonight I want us to get one verse. Like, seriously, one verse. It's a verse to memorize. It's a verse to think about. Because it's extremely helpful with all of this stuff that we face. You see, a lot of times when you're young, you think that it's only your generation that has this label problem, right? Like, and I would say that you are much more, like, you're an image-driven generation. It is about, like, what you see and how you present yourself and things like this, but this is not new to your generation. Like, my generation, Stuart, he's talking about it. But even more, like, if you go back to Jesus' day, if you study scripture, if you study history, you'll find that these labels, these kinds of things were real back in that day, in Jesus' day and in Paul's day. And what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 speaks directly to this. I'm going to read it. And then we'll unpack it a little bit. He says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now there's one word we have to talk about first, and the word is "we." Because Paul is going to tell some people, some things about themselves and about who they are and the real label to have on their life. But the really important thing is, who is the "we"? Who is he writing to? Who is he saying these things about? And so you got to kind of be a student. You got to flip through this letter to the Ephesians. And what Paul says at the beginning of Ephesians is that the "we" that he's talking about are people that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. That they have a relationship with God. They're forgiven. God has come into their life. They were once dead, and now they're alive. He starts his letter out, and he says, I'm writing to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus Christ. And this is the "we." And Paul has said a lot about the "we" in this letter. Like Ephesians 2:10 is a little ways into this letter. And so if we'll look back a little bit more in Ephesians chapter 2, he said some really important stuff about the "we," about who they are. And remember, some of you were at camp, and so you heard this. We read this section that what he says to those who are following Jesus now is, he says, there once was a time that you were spiritually dead, right? He says that you were dead in your trespasses in sin. And we talked a lot about what that meant, that we can be people who are physically alive but spiritually dead. We're breathing, we're talking, we're hanging out with friends, we're physically alive, but spiritually our heart for God is empty. It's dead, it's lacking. It's a helpless state. That there's nothing that you can do on your own to repair that. And see, the worthless feelings that we have in our lives, what we need to realize is that those are direct results of being dead. Like, it comes from what sin does to us. Like, we're not going to take the time today, but if you just want to start reading the Bible, just start in Genesis and start reading. And whenever people start to take God's way and set it aside and disengage from God and do their own thing, one of the direct results of that is insecurity. Lack of worth. Unwanted, awkward, used. This is what it does to us. And Paul says, all of us, at one time, we were in this condition. But when we were in this condition, Paul says, when you were dead, Christ made you alive. That what Jesus has done is when we are dead, he comes and he does something that helps us with our condition that we can't fix on our own and offers us life that we can receive from him. And in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he says that we receive this life by his grace through our faith in him. In other words, we don't work hard doing great things to earn that from God. God gives that to us freely. And this is an amazing message that Jesus has done this for us, if we'll accept it. And so we have a cross up here tonight, and we have a cross up here because when we see the cross, it reminds us of what Jesus did to accomplish this turning a dead thing to life. And what we learn about the cross is that many things were accomplished there. That Jesus, when he goes to the cross, this is essential for us to be right with God, to be forgiven, and to deal with these labels in our lives. You see, what the Bible begins to say about the labels in our lives, it says Jesus, when he goes to the cross, he takes those things and the effects of those things on himself on the cross and puts them to death. Right? And what that shows is it shows how ugly these things are to our lives. Like when we look at the cross and we see this horrible, humiliating, painful death, what we see is the right result of the things that we have done to one another and done to ourselves. And Jesus pays for them on the cross. He puts them to death. And what Scripture says, he rises again so that he can offer us a new life and a new label. I think one of the clearest places in the Bible where it says it is in 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. That's the cross. To take all these things on himself so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what the Bible is saying. That when we look at the cross, we see Jesus dying for our old label so that he can give us a new label. And when Paul says we, he's talking about people who have received that, who believe that, who understand that Jesus going to the cross is essential. And the we is people who have believed this. And so tonight, if you haven't, like if you're here just kind of exploring Jesus and this is new to you, then the most important question for you to wrestle with is, do you believe this about God? Do you believe that God loves you enough and is offering you a new life in following him? Or not? And if you haven't received that, if you haven't embraced that, then you are not the we he's writing to. But for those of us who have received that, who have received that new label, Paul goes on to explain what that label is. He says, we are God's workmanship. God's created in Jesus Christ to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. He says two things, two labels. First of all, that word is workmanship, or carries with the idea of a masterpiece, a work of art, something amazing that God has created. And so my wife, her mother is an artist. She's actually a phenomenal painter. And one of the cool things that we have in our house is we have a bunch of her paintings. And I just think they're really cool. And so they are really valuable to us. They're in places where they don't get played with recklessly. They're on the wall. And we tell our kids, you don't shoot grandma's painting with a dart gun. Right? Like, you don't. And Nerf guns, stay away from that. We don't roughhouse near them. Like, we don't do these things because they're important. They're valuable. We take care of them. But what's so interesting to me is how we feel about those things. You know, one of my favorite things to do when people come to our house, I love it when people ask about those paintings. Because I love them. It's like, they'll say, like, that's really cool. Where did you buy that? And we're like, no, we didn't. Like, Sarah's mom, she painted them. Aren't they cool? Like this is amazing. We know the hours that she put into them, and we know the craftsmanship, and it's just so fun to brag about those things to other people. And this is what we do with a masterpiece. This is what we do with something that has been worked into a piece of art. And what God is saying to us is he thinks that way about you. Isn't that amazing? That God is working in us and forming us and shaping us into something that he loves to brag about. Look at that person. Look at how amazing I'm making them to be. I love them. They're important. He likes you. You know, a lot of times we just don't that God feels that way about us. Like, a lot of times we just look at the junk that we're wading through and we just think, how can God ever love this? How can God ever like this? And God says, no, I come into your life and I'm forming you into something that I'm proud of, that I love to show off. You're his workmanship, his masterpiece, and he goes on to say, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, right? Which he's prepared in advance for you to do. In other words, he's saying you're a masterpiece and you have a vital purpose. That there is something that God is making you to do that nobody else in the history of the world, and all the 6 or 7 billion people in this world today, nobody else can do it but you. I mean, this is amazing. I remember in high school, we were getting ready for a basketball game against a team called Hood River, and they had this guy, I don't remember his name, but he was like, he would score over 20 points a game, which in high school, this is pretty good, you know? And so, our coach, he grabbed my friend John, and John was, I was a senior, he was a sophomore, right? And so John is like, he's the young guy on the team, right? But he grabbed John, and the day before we played Hood River, I remember, he said it in front of everybody, John, this is your job. That guy doesn't get the ball tomorrow. I don't care if you score. I don't even care if you touch the ball. Your job tomorrow is to make sure that guy doesn't get the ball and doesn't score. And for John, like little sophomore dude John, like this was huge for him. He played the hardest he's ever played. He played the best he's ever played. He worked so hard because for that game, he knew exactly what his role was. And this is what purpose does for us. Like, it gives us value. It gives us importance. And God is saying, this is you. Like, if you know him, if he is making you new, like, you have something to do that I cannot do. Like, a lot of times, because of our baggage, we hear about doing things for God, and we look around the room and we say, like, well, Ryan can do that, and Jake can do that, and Matthias, and, you know, some of the staff, but not me. I'm awkward. I'm a failure. Nobody wants me. God says, no, that's not true at all. I'm proud of you. I like you. And you can do something. I'm making you to do something for his kingdom, for the King of Kings, the God of the universe that nobody else can do. Man, this is amazing. And there's so much more that the cross and what God says about you and how valuable you are to him. But for me, like, I stop at this verse. I'm God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for me to do. That's amazing. So see, when we face this, when the labels are thrust on us, when we do it ourselves, when other people do it to us, when they even just say those things to us, like, don't look in the mirror and try to muster up enough positive thoughts to make yourself feel better. It won't accomplish it. Like, we don't look in the mirror, we look in Scripture. We say, God, what do you say about me? And then we got to make a choice. Am I going to believe what God says about me? Or am I just going to believe how I feel? And to follow Jesus is to believe what he says about you, that you're valuable over how you feel. This is where repair happens. This is where freedom is brought to us by God as we follow him. See, this series is life played out. And we started it last week just with this idea that when God makes us new, we want to live this out. Like all these people that came to Jesus and Jesus transformed their lives. You remember what they wanted to do? They wanted to worship him. They wanted to give to him. They wanted to leave things behind and follow him. And this is the invitation for us, that we wouldn't just like hear things about him and receive things from him, that we would live this life out. And we live it out by believing what God says about us. And I know some of you, the thing that holds you back from experiencing what God has died for and is offering to you is this. You're too caught up in labels. And you're missing the label that Jesus is putting on you that's true. And so tonight I want to ask you is, are you going to embrace that? I mean, the question tonight that we need to think about is not the question of will we face this feeling of worthlessness, because the answer to that question is yes. You will, probably tomorrow. Maybe even before you leave tonight. It's not the question of will you face the issue of worthlessness, it's will you believe God or not in what he's saying? Or are you going to believe how you feel? You know, in this series, we talked a lot about we want to move with things. We don't just want to hear things. And so tonight, I just want to give us some space to wrestle with this. And part of that is just to give you a few minutes by yourself, quietly, to talk to God. And one of the amazing things is that we can all do that. Like, we can talk to God in our mind and in our heart, and God hears all of us. If you want to write, there's some space on your notes, but I just want to give you a moment to do that. And then I'm going to ask you to do one more thing tonight. But if you want to pray, if you want to tell God what's on your mind, if you just want to ask him for help in these things, I want to give you some time to do that before we get up and leave. So some of the youth staff, we were together. talk about that tonight before we leave, that we want to give you an opportunity to do something that represents what's going on in our lives or what we need to do with God. And I think what represents that more than anything is an exchange. Right? We talk about that Jesus on the cross, he takes our old labels and puts them to death and offers us a new label. So to give you a little bit more space to think about, are you going to believe this or not? What we're going to do is I'm going to play a song. It's a song that we sang at camp. It's called Brokenness Aside. And it's just, it kind of represents how God does this with these ugly things. And how he offers us something beautiful and valuable. And tonight, as we're listening to that song, the words are going to be up here on the screen. You can just read the words and listen to the song. But we also, up at the foot of the cross, we have a basket, and then we have a stand. And in the basket, if you would like to, I would just encourage you to take that label that you're wrestling with right now in your life and take it to the cross. And then lay it down at the foot of the cross. And up there, there's some other labels that says, Jesus makes me valuable. And I'm not asking you to, like, wear this on your forehead tonight or like, you know, whatever, like you can do whatever you want with this. And yet my hope is that if we do this, that this is a picture of what we want to do in our lives with Jesus. That we need to make this exchange. Does that make sense? If it would help you tonight, you need to stand up. I know this is kind of in front, but if it would help you to do that physically tonight, to help your heart to do that, then I would invite you to enjoy that as we listen to this song. Would you pray with me? God, we don't want to pretend tonight that the things that have been said, the things that have been done to us, the things we have done ourselves, God, we don't want to pretend tonight that they didn't happen, but that they weren't a big deal. Or that we can somehow ourselves rise above them. Forgive us for just kind of lashing out and trying to do something on our own to make us feel better. That tonight, right here, we believe in what you've done. God, the cross was bloody and real. God, I pray for all of my friends here in this room tomorrow. They walk through their day this week with all they face. And God, I know for some of them it's huge. I just pray that they would believe what you say. Thank you for the value you give us. Don't let these labels hold us back. And Jesus, I pray for anybody in this room who doesn't yet know you. I pray that you would show yourself to be very real to them, that you would pursue them and invite them, and that they would respond and come to know you and be made new as you have done that with so many of us in this room over the last few weeks and months and for many of us. Go with us as we go home tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so